Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we're vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening wherever you grab your audio content. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. When you get a chance, visit the website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this episode, the whole catalog of 400-plus episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Right now, you can sign up for the fall men's retreat. You can sign up for the next session of Tribe, which begins June 1st and it runs until November 30th. You can sign up for our Framework Field Notes newsletter that goes out every week. I also want to remind you, the Friday podcast is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork. DarkwaterKC.com. If you use today's discount code that I'm going to give you on today's podcast episode, you'll save money when you go there. The link is in the show notes. But while you're there, you're going to realize Doug has a lot of things to check out. He's constantly adding to his store. He's adding to what is available. But I want to encourage you, grab some Old Fashioned. This Old Fashioned beard oil is incredible. I've had a number of beard oils through the years, and every once in a while one of them will kind of stand out to me as a good scent or something that I have no problem wearing. This is wife approved. This is a fantastic scent. It's called Old Fashioned. Make sure you grab a couple, give one to somebody else. You got graduation stuff coming up. Some of these young men are going to start to let the follicles come out of their face, and this is something that will help them keep that beard going and looking good and looking strong. Amen. So men, it's time for today's podcast episode. All right, man, we're going to take a look at the book of Philippians for a little bit. How long this is going to take, I don't know, but this is where we're at today. Philippians 1, we're going to get through two verses, Philippians 1, 1 through 2. But I also want to look at Acts 16, starting in verse 13. So if you're in a place where you can open your Bible, that'd be a great idea. If you're not, totally understand. But Philippians 1, 1 through 2, I want to read it, and then I want to get over to Acts chapter 16. Philippians 1 starts off with Paul and Timothy, servants to Christ of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you get the feeling that Paul wants you to know he is about Christ Jesus, right? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says it three times in the first two verses. And then he ends with grace and peace to you. Now that's your discount code, grace and peace. All capital letters, one word. Put that in, you save some money on your next beard care purchase. All right, Acts chapter 16. He's talking about these people he's writing to, the church in Philippi. Where did they come from? We find out in Acts chapter 16. Now, there's two things that stand out to me when I look at what Paul is writing to the church in Philippi and what happened in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 11, but I'm going to focus on 13. Two things. The first is submission to the Spirit. You went to church on Sunday and it just wasn't there, or your men's group is kind of lame, or your small group's falling apart, or your church seems, man, it starts with you. It starts with you surrendering to the Spirit. When I surrender to the Spirit, when I'm more in tune with the Lord, walking day in, day out, moment in, moment out, looking for the next opportunity, I'm telling you what, when I gather with other believers, by the time I get there, it sure puts a lot of pressure. I should say, it sure takes a lot of pressure off that gathering. Church is unhealthy. Church is complicated. Church is messy. Right, because we're made up of people. We're all sinners. We're all messy people. However, when we walk in tune with the Spirit, when we come together collectively, it's just different. I'll give you an example. Our fall men's retreat, guys will talk about it all the time. Guys said last year, the caliber of guys, the conversation just felt different, right? Because guys are coming with the same intent, most of them. Some guys are there because they were invited or whatever, but we have these guys coming together. We fellowship, we eat, we hang out, whatever, and we have church together. It's not their church, but we have church together in that aspect, and you see what it can be when people are in tune with the Spirit, all moving the same direction together. That's what you want in your own church. Well, it starts with you, and it starts with your house, and it starts with making Jesus a priority, being in the Word a priority, and if you do that day in, day out, when you get in the car and you head out to go to your church, boy, it's a whole different perspective. The second thing that happens is evangelistic encounters. How evangelistic are you? You're like, well, I'm not really evangelistic. Well, then you're not going to be walking in the Spirit very well. You're not going to be in obedience to what Jesus told you to do. If you refuse, and some guys just downright refuse, if you refuse to be on mission for Jesus, shocker, when you find out your faith is lame and boring. You're like, what did I get? It's like you went to the ice cream store and you got a scoop of sample and you called that ice cream. That's nothing. You got just a little bit. That's not what it is. But if you live on mission, and you don't got to be on the corner and yelling with the megaphone. If that's you, that's fine. It's not me. But I'm looking for, like, who's the next one? Who's the next person? It can be subtle, but subtle always ends up becoming significant. So look for those opportunities. That's what Paul does. And Paul says, I'm writing to you because I love you, because I've labored for you, because you matter. I think there's a lot of guys probably listening to this episode who you can't relate to that because you haven't labored for a person to get into the kingdom. You haven't looked for that evangelistic opportunity. You don't live in submission to the Spirit. You actually live in tension with the Spirit because you're hoping that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, doesn't stretch you, doesn't make you get out of your comfort zone. Brother, that is no way to live. And that's not what God called you to, and that's not what Jesus saved you from. I promise you that you're making something far bigger than it needs to be. You're making everybody a Goliath scenario, and that's not the case. Say, God, use me. Who can I encounter today that I can reflect your goodness to? Again, even if it's subtle, even if it's just a few words, even if it's just a prayer, or even if it's just an invitation to church, that's a start. You start doing that, I'm telling you, we gather with believers, it's different. Paul didn't necessarily have that. Acts chapter 16, verse 13, it says, and on the Sabbath day, they were going to church. We went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. They're looking for a synagogue, going for a gathering. He said, we thought there'd be one. Nope, there isn't one. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. To have a synagogue, to have a place of prayer, they needed 10 men, 10 head of households. They couldn't find 10 men to have a gathering of believers? No. So there was a gap. You know what happened? The women stepped up. The women said, we'll do it. I think there's probably some churches who can't find 10 men who would gather together and hold church together. You say, well, that's our elders. And that's supposed to be everybody. It's supposed to be men of God. You shouldn't have to have a title to do what the Bible has told you to do. And so here we have a vacancy in leadership, and the women say, we'll do it. And so Paul begins to encounter some people. The first one he encounters is a woman named Lydia. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia. She was a worshiper of God. She was a seller of purple. So she had a fear of God, a healthy fear of God. But she doesn't know Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. I think we can gather on Sundays or Saturdays, whenever you do it. And I think we can have our eyes open, but our ears closed. We can have the arms of our heart crossed to say, well, we're just going to get through this for the next 30, 35 minutes, and then we're going to get out of here, and we're going to go about our day. God opens her heart. What happened? She was baptized. She was baptized. Here's a woman who's essentially in some kind of leadership or influence position in this group who's meeting by the riverside, because there ain't no men to lead in the church, and she, now she's baptized. And if you go on, the rest of her household is baptized. She's not a pushover. It wasn't like she was manipulated by Paul's message, because Paul says she prevailed upon them to stay. Oh, this is a woman that you says, you should eat. And he said, I'm not hungry. You'll eat. So Lydia's not a pushover. She's running her own business. She has a fear of God. She doesn't know Jesus. John 14, 6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God the Father except through him. That's either true or it's not true. Well, I have a fear of God. Do you know Jesus? You have the Spirit living inside you. I know some facts about Jesus. That's not the same as knowing him. Judas was really close to Jesus, but he missed it. Peter missed it, but then he found. Then he repented. Then he was restored. So maybe you missed it before. Repent. You can be restored. Jesus died for you. There's still time. This is your day of salvation. And then we move on to a different problem. We have a slave girl here. As they were going to a place of prayer, there's a slave girl, and she starts following them around. Now, I did children's ministry for a long time, love kids, a lot of fun teaching kids. Man, there's some things they can do to just drive you nuts. I don't think this girl is like 7. I'm thinking she's probably a teenager, young adult. That's just my guess. But anyhow, she's making them some people money. She keeps crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. You say, I have a fear of God. She was aware of God as well. She didn't know Jesus. And she's got a mess here. Kept doing this for many days. Paul was annoyed. I don't know how Paul held on for many days. I would have held on for about a few minutes. And so Paul, after many days, gets annoyed with this girl and says, that's it, no more, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. But when the owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, this is the one I struggle with, because if you're honest, you could at least admit in our culture, people are doing what they can to gain money and gain some kind of influence by their children. Sometimes it's through athletics, But sometimes it's through how they identify, what gender they're going to be, what their sexual orientation is, what their, like, it's like someone says, I got one too. I have one too. And now I get to be a part of your group because I have one too. Or we do that too. Or we have that at our house too. Or we, whatever it is, like we are manipulating our children. And I'm telling you, there are consequences of it. Pray for your kids. Pray for their kids. You say, Jared, I don't have kids. Then pray for other people's kids because somebody needs to pray for them. Got a lot of kids that I run up on, see around and go, somebody needs to pray for them. Because people are manipulating to say, I got one too. Well, they had someone that made them money and they were sick of it and they were angry that the fact that Paul now has taken this spirit out of her that was making them all kinds of money. It was their source of income. It was their way of saying, we have one too. What happens? They had these people beaten, right? And when they inflicted many blows upon them, verse 23, and threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. That's a nice way of saying, don't let them get out. Don't let them go anywhere. So Paul has run up on Lydia, fear of God, and this nameless slave girl who has finally been freed from her oppression, but the owner's not happy about it. Well, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. What are they doing? They're reeling in the sheaves, right? They're just singing. They're going through the hymn book. People are listening to them going, how could these guys sing? They're in this terrible, terrible place. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. The jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open and he drew his sword. He said, prisoners are gone. Might as well end my life. They said, hope, we're all here. We're all accounted for. He brought them out and said in verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you realize there are people that you will encounter today, whether they recognize it or not, are still asking that question? And I want to ask you, are you in tune with the Spirit? And are you looking for evangelistic opportunities? Or are you saying, no, I kind of just want to do what I want to do and I want to be left alone? Then I would say you're not following Jesus. Because following Jesus is active. Following Jesus is intentional. Following Jesus is kingdom focused, not you focused. And so in this early church, we have a jailer now who he has his whole family baptized. So Lydia's done it. The jailer's done it. Now you got a slave girl that's a part of it. Now we got a church. Now we got something going on here. Lydia woke up a believer in God. She goes to bed a follower of Jesus. The slave girl shows us that God can change the lives of even the most tormented people that we're going to run up on. The jailer shows us that a blue-collar guy, regular guy like me, a regular guy like most of you, can lead his family to the Lord if he'll first surrender to Jesus. Here he is moments ago about to end his life, and suddenly he has a new life, a hope beyond the grave. And everybody in his house is going to grab a towel saying, we're in too. The first two verses, we talked about evangelistic opportunities and submission to the Spirit. We see servants of Jesus and we see Paul writing to the saints, people who are on the same team. That's what we're going to look at next week. The joy that we can have in Christ, in prayer, in imploring one another. But you have to understand grace and peace. Have you received grace? Of course, we all have. We just don't always identify it or recognize it. Do you have peace? Jesus said, the peace I give you is not as the world gives. The peace that Jesus gives us is going to be quite a bit different than whatever you're seeking for yourself. I just want to be left alone, or I just want to... That's not peace. That's delusion. That's not peace. That's isolation. That's not peace. That's avoiding the opportunities that God has set before you. Listen, if God cared enough to save you, and I hope you are saved, I hope you do know Christ, don't you believe somewhere in your heart that he cares enough to save the person that you're going to run up on at the grocery store, at the gas station, your assistant coach at the ball field, the person that lives next door? Don't you think he cares enough to save them as well? Then let's pray, God, would you open the doors for that? Would you open the doors that I will be submitting to the Spirit, not on the 12th prodding, but on the first prodding, And would you give me some evangelistic encounters, some divine appointments, some opportunities for me to step out of the boat, stop trying to row to the shore, start walking towards Jesus? Man, I think if we just consider that, if we pray that, if we pray for courage, I think the Lord's going to give you courage. If you say, God, give me a heart to care about lost people. Give me a heart, God, to stop trying to keep all this to myself, to stop trying to avoid any awkwardness or avoid opportunities to take a stand on truth, to proclaim an eternity, to give people the source of hope beyond the grave. I got to believe God's going to answer that prayer, don't you think? If we all prayed it, you get a bunch of burly guys walking around, loving Jesus, looking for ways to pray for people, to invite them to church, to invite them to our groups, to say, hey, I love you, man. I'm proud of you. Thankful for you. How can I pray for you? I think people start to take notice, don't you think? So, men, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Check out Philippians 1:1-2, and then go over to Acts. That's who Paul's writing to. People like you and I. Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.